Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is ESPN Radio.
College football looks quite different, Ian, than when we signed off air, even just on Friday. Amber Wilson, Ian Fitzsimmons hanging out with you this morning on ESPN2, ESPNU, and of course here on ESPN Radio. ESPN Radio presented to you by Progressive Insurance. Ian, where were we at? Like, I can't even remember now. We got off air Friday. Arizona was out. The Pac-12 was crumbling, and now it has crumbled even further. We've got Arizona State and Utah joining the Big 12. We've got Oregon and Washington joining the Big 10. The sky is falling if you're the Pac-12. We already knew that on Friday. Now it's really fallen.
And in the moment, Amber, it's sad. I mean, to me, you know, and we'll get used to it. Like, we talked to Reese Davis about this on Friday. However, you know, the landscape looks once the dust settles, we'll get used to it. We're used to Penn State now being in the Big Ten. You know, two decades ago, they were an independent. A&M in the SEC, Arkansas in the SEC. I mean, that seems like Arkansas has been there forever coming over, you know, from the Southwest Conference many moons ago. You know, the Big 12 wasn't even around at one point. It was the Big 8 and Southwest Conference. And we adapt as college, you know, fans of any sport in collegiate athletics, which is all driven by football. But in the moment, we're talking about the Pac-12. I mean, think about it. You know, the Conference of Champions, where if you go down the list of remarkable historic moments and players and coaches, going back to, you know, John Wooden and, you know, all the greats that he had there, from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to Bill Walton and on down to Jim Plunkett at Stanford, John Elway at Stanford, Aaron Rodgers at Cal. I mean, we can go on down the list of all these remarkable players and moments, and here we are. You know, and it's gone. It's history. And now there's going to end up being a Power 4, Power 3, however it ends up in a few years. But in the moment, for me, and I've thought a lot about this over the weekend and talked to a lot of people, with the Pac-12 being gone, I mean, that stinks, you know, but eventually we will get used to it. And what it is right now, it's a dog-eat-dog, you know, world out there. And the Pac-12 was wearing milk-bone underwear, as Norm once said on Cheers, and they got gobbled up. And now, you know, now the remaining teams are trying to find a home, whether they merge with the Mountain West or whatever it is. But when we last talked on Friday, we had a feeling this was coming, and it hit like a sledgehammer.
It did. Certainly a domino effect there, as the Pac-12 did present media rights to the university presidents and chancellors that were part of the Pac-12. It wasn't enough to convince them to stay. And when they had other suitors, Ian, to the tune of like $50 million per, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about. Oregon said, the president, Carl Schultz, said, we anticipate averaging over $50 million just from direct media rights by making this move. This is all about the dollars. And for the fan, maybe that's not something you want to hear about, because the dollars ultimately aren't what you're concerned about. You're concerned about the rivalries, right? You're concerned about the traditions here in college football. And it's something that's so integral to college sports and so paramount there in the world of football. But the reality is that if you are a president of a university, or if you are a chancellor of a university, you have to care about the dollars. You have to care about the dollars for the future of your program. It's the future of your program. You use those dollars to pay all the coaching staff involved in the program, to upgrade your facilities every so often, to get the recruits in your building. And then that helps you stay competitive, and obviously helps ultimately those rivalries and those traditions. But as SEC folks, you and I are, right? Maybe we're not on the losing end of this. I mean, the SEC at this point, and the commissioner of the SEC looks like the most powerful guy in college football. The SEC at this point, certainly a benefactor of all of these changes. However, I do understand, from an SEC perspective, you and I have been rooting for that conference, right? Not just our schools. Like, you're a Bama guy, I'm a Florida girl. Not just our schools, but we've been rooting for that conference most of our lives. And if you're
that's
a Pac-12
fan, you brought that up on Friday, Amber.
It's weird. That's weird. It's weird. It's a weird thing we do in the SEC, right? Like SEC. It's kind of like the strange thing we do. Nevertheless, there is that sense of conference pride, I think, in all of the conferences to some extent, even if it's not quite the same as it is in the SEC. And it sucks if you're a Pac-12 12 fan. I get it. I mean, it sucks.
It does. And again, I mentioned this on Friday, and I'll mention it again now. This all started when the Pac-12 hired Larry Scott, that astronomical salary, and he talked a great game, but he made so many mistakes. I mean, he was hired from the WTA. He overwhelmed all the presidents, in the Pac-12, and he just absolutely started this entire downfall, brick by brick. I mean, putting the Pac-12 headquarters in a city that does not care about college football in San Francisco with an astronomical rent number. You know, he's making $7.5 million. He took a bonus of like $2.5, $3 million, and then the next day laid off a whole bunch of people. I mean, he's the one that started. He put the Pac-12 title game in San Francisco. I called two Pac-12 championship games that back-to-back years that had less than 40,000 people. Half full, because you're in a city that does not care about college football. I mean, and then George Kliavkoff had 2 years to try and fix this. Bob Bowlsby, who will join us later on in the program here on ESPN and ESPN Radio, that man saved the Big 12 not once but twice, Amber. Somehow found a way to do it. And it's remarkable because he's got roots as the former athletic director at Stanford, at Iowa as an athletic director, and the former commissioner of the Big 12. And I'm fascinated to see what he has to say about how he was able to save the Big 12 and how Kliavkoff wasn't able to save the mess that Larry Scott gave him to inherit.
And
I put 75% of this on Larry Scott, 25% on Kliavkoff, because he did have 2 years to try and figure it out.
Well, and that's the thing with both of those men, right? If you're in charge of the Pac-12, it's not like we didn't know this was coming. I mean, we've known this was coming. Yeah. We have been talking about conference realignment for years, plural. We've been talking about maybe they're ending up just being, a power two, or maybe even like one crazy super conference, and somehow all of the big schools are part of essentially the SEC and everything else is smaller or a lesser degree, right? We've been talking about these sorts of things. Like the SEC essentially becomes the NCAA, and now the Pac-12 is left behind because the Big 12 and the Big 10, I think, looked at that landscape and were thinking, well, we can't let that happen, right? We can't let like the SEC just be the NCAA and the rest of us are all out. So they started actively trying to make moves, look at the landscape, what schools are they going to want to go after in this equation, and also shoring up those media rights deals. And they did a much better job of it than the Pac-12 did. And now it's the Pac-12 that's getting left behind. And because of it, these schools are making the move that essentially they have to make because they're following the dollar. But the president of the University of Washington, Anna Marie, is it Kelsey? I don't want to mispronounce her name. I'm not sure if anybody quite knows how to pronounce it. But the president of the University of Washington, she said that this move is more than just dollars.
I want to be clear. This was not just about dollars and cents. This was about national visibility for our players being on linear TV so that they could be seen, so that they could have the national exposure. It was about stability. It was about a contract that didn't have a 2 years and you can all split up. It was about having a future that we could count on and build towards. So it wasn't just dollars and cents.
So clearly here, she's taking shots directly at the Pac-12 media rights deal that they went ahead and outlined to the university presidents and chancellors before some of these university presidents made the decision to leave the Pac-12 for a different conference and a different media rights deal, Ian. I do think it's interesting. She referenced the 2 years there because apparently the Pac-12 deal was mostly streaming. So she's referencing linear television and also had an out after a couple years. And I have mixed feelings about this because, you and I talked about it on Friday. We talked about the future of television and just the reality of how young people consume media these days and how streaming does continue to rise and rise and rise again in popularity. And it feels like the direction that everybody's going, even the president of ESPN has spoken about it a ton, the direction that everything is going in terms of live sports. And so presenting a media rights deal that is largely based on streaming, I think isn't nearly as terrible as people are acting like it is from the Pac-12. I think it's the timing, the changing tides. And I do think people have to get used to the fact that people do consume media in that fashion. And it's not just all about being on cable television. Nevertheless, I understand the concern about only a couple years of security, because if you're one of these university presidents or chancellors, you don't want to have to keep going through this. At the same time, part of the problem with the media rights deal in the ACC is that they're locked in with us here at ESPN until 2036. So if you're giving me the option of 2 years or far too many years, I'm going to go ahead and choose the 2-year deal because of how quickly the landscape is changing. So if I'm the Pac-12, I think I could have actually spun that in a better direction than it feels like the university presidents accepted that reality, at least.
They did, and look, to your point about streaming, in 5 years from now, maybe games are mostly on the ESPN app, you know, mm-hmm. or Apple, whatever it may be. But in the moment, remember talking to Sam Acho, who spent nearly a decade in the National Football League, one of our lead NFL and college football analysts. We took him back to his days being recruited to go play for Texas. And we said, if a Pac-12 coach, USC, whomever, Lincoln Riley, walks into your living room and says, and you ask him, well, where are our games? Fox, ESPN? No, they're going to be streamed on Apple TV. What did he say?
Right, but that was 14 years ago, in fairness. He's 32, I think, Sam
Acho. But his mind right now and the player right now, to your point, 5 years from now, I think you could be spot on as far as that may be the future. Who knows? But in the moment, today's athlete, they want to be on ESPN. They want to be on CBS. They want to be on linear television. And that's where, I'm going to go much bigger picture here, Amber. This is why college football needs a commissioner. They need a Goodell, a Manfred, an Adam Silver. They need an overall commissioner to keep us from doing what we're doing right now. And that's just devouring each other and losing these regional rivalries. I've said for years, Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, should be the overall commissioner of college football. Bring Bob Bowlesby out of retirement. He won't do it. Right? I mean, there's no chance he's jumping back in. But he was able to save a conference not once but twice, as I mentioned earlier. But Sankey, I think, would be phenomenal as an overall commissioner. If not him, someone who has the best interest of the game. Because right now, I mean, think about it. We all know it's not about tennis and soccer and, you know, gymnastics or wrestling. It's about one thing, football. A distant second is basketball. Are we even talking about how is the Oregon basketball team going to go play Maryland, Ohio State in the middle of the week, get home at around 4 a.m. and have to go to class the next day? No one cares about that.
Right.
Including the administrators. And they should.
The students care about that. And certainly those student athletes participating in those sports very much care about that. Basketball, baseball, the sports with games far more often, the sports with games during the middle of the week when these kids are tasked with also going to class. But it's because the football is what brings in the revenue. And that's what is going to drive these decisions, because that's the sport that funds the majority of these athletic departments. We're going to get more into that in just a moment. Amber Wilson, Ian Fitzsimmons hanging out with you here on ESPN2 and on ESPN Radio. Coming up next, two prominent coaches asked the simple question this weekend: have we thought about those other sports that Ian just brought up? We'll stick with college sports and realignment.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is ESPN Radio.
So we've got the Big Ten. We've got the Big 12. Ignore the numbers. They don't mean anything. We still technically have the Pac-12, but I think we're down to, what, the Pac-4 involved in that? We obviously still have the SEC. Will the Mountain West end up merging with the Pac-12? There's still a lot that can be done here with conference realignment. Amber Wilson, Ian Fitzsimmons hanging out with you. You can watch us on ESPN, too. Listen to us, of course, on ESPN Radio. One of the things, though, that is up for conversation here, Ian, isn't just where what schools should go where in terms of conference, but it's specific to sports, because these conference realignment decisions are being made solely and completely based on football. College football funds the majority of these athletic departments at these big universities. That quite literally, football pays for all the other sports. And because of that, football becomes the one and only concern if you're a university president or a chancellor when you're making the decision about conference realignment for your school. The problem is that the ramifications of this extend far beyond football. And imagine if you're a baseball player or if you're a basketball player and you're playing games often, you're playing games during the week, you have to somehow travel across the country now because you're in a new conference and geographically it doesn't make any sense, and you have to get back and you have to actually make it to class the next day when you're up till 3 or 4 in the morning. It is a real problem for these other sports, and the student athletes have taken to social media. They have put out there, nobody is asking us. Because also imagine, Ian, when you're being recruited to these schools for these other big time sports, maybe they're not the breadwinner for the athletic department, but you're so heavily invested, your life and your family in that particular sport and your particular journey. A lot of the reason that these kids go to said school is so their parents can come watch their games, or their aunts and uncles can come watch their games. And now you're going to ask those families to fly across the country, because geography be darned with conference realignment. It's a very difficult situation for these other sports.
That's a great point. And you have a lot of players, whether they're, you know, USC, UCLA, Oregon, Washington, you know, or any one of the members of the Four Corner schools that went to the Big 12. You know, to your point, a lot of these players, well, let's just stay with USC and UCLA. You know, they may have wanted to stay. They're from LA. They wanted to stay home. So their aunt, uncle, friends, you know, and they may not be able to afford, their parents may not be able to afford flying to Columbus, Ohio to watch and play. But they can't afford to drive somewhere, right? Whether it's all the way up to Cal, Stanford, whatever. You know, that's a much cheaper plane ticket also to be able to watch, you know, little Johnny or little Sally play ball. But I hate to say it, and this is going to sound harsh, and I feel for all of them, because that they may have gone to a certain school because of that very reason that you just mentioned, and it's an outstanding point. But the big money boosters and the suits, they don't care. They care about the almighty dollar. And it's sad, and it's shallow, but it's a fact. And that's the only reason all of this is happening. And it's also happening because college athletics, and especially college football, doesn't have a commissioner that they have sorely needed for years, and they haven't been able to do it. So all these conferences are able to go and just gobble each other up, and they don't care about the state of the game, what's best for the game, or about little Johnny or little Susie. They care about money, and that's it. And when Oregon and Washington see Maryland and Rutgers and Ohio State and Michigan making over $50 million, and they're going to make around 20 to 25 off Apple streaming, less than half? No, they're hitting the door because they want that money. That's it, you know, to improve their facilities. You know, what do you think builds all these new English buildings and history buildings in Tuscaloosa, Alabama? Football does.
Right.
Endowment does. Donations do. Heck, mm-hmm. In 1 year when Johnny Manziel was at Texas A&M, he rebuilt Kyle Field, and the endowment donations skyrocketed. Almost quadrupled. Why? Because the football team won. It's a fact. And even though I feel badly, we all do, for basketball, tennis, wrestling, softball, baseball, it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is football, and a distant second is basketball. And that's the cold, hard, shallow truth.
Yeah, you called it shallow, and you said that it's sad. And frankly, I think if we put ourselves, though, in the shoes of the boosters or in the shoes of the university presidents or even the ADs, we'd be making the exact same decision. I don't know if it really is that shallow of a decision, because you have to look at the future of your entire athletic department there. And yes, there are going to be these other student athletes that are caught in the crossfire initially, and that absolutely sucks for them. I understand how difficult it must be if you are a basketball player or a baseball player or a softball player or a gymnast at any of these schools after conference realignment. But also in years, that will correct itself some, right? It is these current student athletes, these athletes that already signed up for said university thinking that they were playing one school's schedule, right? And now they're playing an entirely different schedule based on conference realignment here over the next few years. That's a very, very difficult transition. It won't be so difficult in years to come, Ian, because once conference realignment actually happens, and at some point you would think this quiets down to some extent, even if we end up with just two or three super conferences, at some point these schools are going to be locked in and settled in because of these media rights deals. And when that happens, then at least the student athlete in these other sports can look at the landscape. And if you're going to Oregon, think, hey, do I want to be going to Oregon, flying across the country, dealing with this schedule? So that's one way that I think things settle down. The other way, though, that things could settle down is if football breaks away, because it is football that funds these entire programs. And quite literally, it is football that funds these other sports. So it may not feel fair, and maybe it feels shallow in the moment, but these other sports don't have an opportunity to exist with the facilities that they have and the coaching staffs that they have if not for football. So football is going to drive the dollar because it's funding what you're doing in these other sports. But could football break away? Could you see a world where football, where your Bama, right, where your Roll Tide here is in the SEC for football, and in basketball and everything else are in a totally different conference? I mean, obviously, Bama's maybe not the best example there, but with some of these other schools, it makes a lot more sense.
Amber, nothing will surprise me. Nothing. Nada. Zilch when it comes to the future of collegiate athletics. The Pac-12's done. It's history. Right. I never dreamed in my lifetime that that would happen, the Conference of Champions. So if you're asking me, could I see a time where these three, whatever we end up with, two, three mega conferences, or now four, power four conferences, if all their football teams break away, and you have the Olympic sports and basketball, tied to a more regional conference, and everybody else is at a whole other level, sure I can. Notre Dame kind of does it right now. They're in the ACC in every other sport except for football, and they're right, tied to five ACC games. In football.
They have to be independent.
Absolutely.
Independent.
So, that's the difference.
We used to be good in the 1940s.
And Rick,
we used to win championships.
And Rick Pitino brought it up, that very thing you're talking about. Why can't we do this?
Damn.
Well, you could, and you might, but I don't know if it's going to happen anytime soon, but nothing would surprise me.
Rick Pitino tweeted out, doesn't it make more sense for football to break away to separate leagues and allow the rest of the sport to compete regionally? Rivalries remain in minor sports. Don't spend half their day looking for bad food at airport restaurants. Obviously, the logistics there for the other sports, they're, of course, just being dragged along into this equation. So we will see. There is so much more to unpack when it comes to that, when it comes to conference realignment, when it comes to how we got here in terms of the leadership of the Pac-12 and of the NCAA. We will be talking about that throughout this morning. Ian Fitzsimmons with us, of course, knows a thing or two about college sports. Amber Wilson with you as well. But coming up next, we go to the NFL. Our two-a-days continues with the Giants. Can Daniel Jones take a next step again this year?
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is ESPN Radio.
Hey, let's go do our job, man.
NFL Nation Two-A-Days.
Time is here.
On ESPN Radio, the New York Giants.
Blue 58, go.
This is Jordan Ron on covering the Giants. Now that Saquon Barkley and the team have failed to reach a long-term deal, everything around the Giants this summer is going to be about how the lack of a deal affects the organization. Will it affect the locker room? How much will it affect their on-field product? All the questions are going to be about Saquon Barkley. It's something the Giants and their entire roster are not going to be able to avoid.
Countdown to kickoff with NFL Nation Two-A-Days on ESPN Radio.
So we will be talking about the fact that Saquon doesn't have a long-term deal in place all season long there when we talk about the New York Giants. That's going to be a storyline that continues forth as he only inked a one-year deal there with the Giants. That was all he could ink after being franchise tagged there in New York. But it does appear that he will be with the team, and so he will be giving some help to that quarterback that got paid $160 million, who did get his four-year extension. So I think story number two when it comes to the New York Giants will be, can Daniel Jones build on what he did last season, Ian?
I'm in the minority. I like Daniel Jones. And the number one reason is because we saw marked improvement last year when he finally got a head coach that knows what the hell he's doing, that actually can draw up schemes and plays where he shows you a look in the first quarter to burn your butt in the third quarter with that exact same look, but a completely different play. And a guy who can help develop young talent. Look what he did with Josh Allen in Buffalo, and now he's going to try and do the exact same thing as far as developing a first-round pick in Daniel Jones. Now, I'm not comparing Daniel Jones to Josh Allen in any stretch of the imagination. I'm saying Coach Dable knows exactly what he's doing when it comes to developing quarterbacks, and he got him some help. Remember the name Jalen Hyatt, wide receiver out of Tennessee. This dude was on my all-hug team last year, Amber. He is a burner, and I do mean he can fly. You know, whether it's a deep post or just a straight fly route, he can go get it. And you throw it in his zip code, he's going to catch it. And not just Jalen Hyatt, but also Saquon Barkley's got some help in the backfield. Eric Gray, rookie running back out of Oklahoma, the Tennessee transfer, is a boy dog warrior, and he wants to be coached hard. DeMarco Murray, former leading rusher in the NFL for the Dallas Cowboys, he's the running backs coach at Oklahoma, and he rode his butt, and Eric took every bit of it and wanted more. Those two rookies are going to help Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley a ton coming into the 23 campaign. I think that best case is they make the playoffs and maybe steal a playoff game. Worst case is right there in the wild card hunt come week 17. I think they will be right there in the last week of the season knocking on the door of the playoffs yet again.
I like the changes that the Giants made here on offense. You mentioned there, and it's not just the drafting of Hyatt and the others that you just mentioned. Bringing in Darren Waller, though, a tight end who you're talking about averaging 98.5 receptions and over 1,100 receiving yards in 2019 and 2020. If he can get back to that form again, that will be a huge target for Daniel Jones. They also signed Paris Campbell. They have Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton, Wandale Robinson, Isaiah Hodgkins. Like, you were talking about weapons around Daniel Jones. The problem here for this New York Giants team is twofold. First of all, that interior line. Evan Neal did not look like you expected the seventh overall pick to look. Maybe he will look a little bit better in his sophomore season than he looked in his rookie season. But you're also talking about a rookie center now in John Schmitz. coming into this season. So interior line is a problem in terms of protecting Daniel Jones. The other problem is the schedule here, right? And this could be the killer, Ian. You were talking about a schedule where they start the season, they see the Cowboys, they see the Eagles twice in the final three games of this schedule. They have a stretch that is so grueling, they could go 1-5 during it with games against the Niners, the Seahawks, the Dolphins, the Bills. I mean, you were talking about a brutal schedule for this New York Giants team. So although I feel pretty good about the changes that they made here on offense, and I do think in large part, other than, again, that interior line, they put Daniel Jones in a position here to succeed, I'm concerned that even if they're playing pretty well because of the competition that they're playing, it's not going to go quite as well as it did last season, and people are going to get real negative real quick and feel like Daniel Jones is taking a step back because he's facing such good defenses on the other side.
Well, to your point about that schedule on the back end, week 18, they are home against the Eagles. If you're a Giants fan, you're hoping, you know what? Eagles have a division wrapped up. They can't improve their playoff positioning anymore. Hey, Jalen, boys, whoop, take a bench. Sit it down, right? Street clothes. You're good. And you go ahead and maybe get that last W you might need to try to get into the wild card. And
true.
You bring up Evan Neal. I covered him a lot at Alabama. I was surprised as to how much he struggled even as a rookie right tackle. I know he's in concussion protocol right now. Hopefully he's back and will be okay. But when he's right, man, he is an absolute wall. So I'm expecting him to take a big step, as I am with Daylon Jones, second year in that system, and now he's gotten acclimated to the National Football League. I'm expecting to see more of the Alabama Evan Neal than what we saw as a rookie at right tackle.
Hopefully so. Hopefully so in terms of the protection of Daniel Jones, because even those guard spots are up for debate here in training camp. So that O-line has a lot of questions on it for the New York Giants. Probably one of the reasons that Saquon so badly wanted his extension, right? You want to be able to lock up some of that security at the running back position, not just because of the state of the running back generally, but because he's the most important player on that team. He's the leader of that team, and he's behind not the best O-line ever in the history of the world. And now he's playing for a contract extension at a very difficult position for a running back who you feel like he's over the hill, even though he's only, what, 26 years old? I mean, he's mid-20s. It's so bizarre talking about these guys in those terms. So some question marks there for the New York Giants, certainly question marks in terms of that schedule. They play in a wide open NFC, right? The problem is they just happen to be in the best division in that conference.
Yeah, I completely agree as far as the division goes coming into the season. But on the other side of the ball, think about this, Amber. Up front, they're stout.
Yes.
I mean, you got you've talked about taking a big step. Kayvon Thibodeau, watch out, because when we showed flashes last year, I think he's going to have a breakout campaign coming into a second season in the NFL. You have Leonard Williams, A'shaun Robinson, Dexter Lawrence up front. That front four is stout, and I do mean stout. And those dudes are hunters, so I'm expecting a big, big year off that front four for the New York Giants, led by Kayvon Thibodeau in his second year.
Yeah, Thibodeau, there were times that he did struggle last season, particularly to finish, but you are talking about a player with 40 pressures, 13 quarterback hits as a rookie. His pressure rate was more than the other fellow first-round rooks in Aiden Hutchinson and Trayvon Walker. So Thibodeau is one of those players in his sophomore season could look a whole lot better. That defense, generally, I agree with you, very, very good for the New York Giants. That ain't my concern for the Giants. It's just the schedule and that O-line that are the concerns there, and then how that is going to affect Daniel Jones. Because I know the narrative around this. When you get paid like a top 10 quarterback in the league, nobody thinks you're a top 10 quarterback in the league. And the reality is that's where the salaries are going, and that Daniel Jones contract might not look like much in 3 or 4, you know, in 3 years kind of thing as we near the end.
Like it already done after Herbert signed his.
Well, that's true. Well, yeah, but Herbert's so much better than Daniel Jones. But it's just it's like the Kyler Murray contract, right? Which, like, everyone's horrified because it's Kyler, and then it's the direction of where these contracts are going. It's somewhat of growing pains. So he's paid like a top 10 quarterback, but it's not really because he's a top 10 quarterback. It's also like that's how you have to pay that position right now. But when you're paid like a top 10 quarterback and then you don't look like a top 10 quarterback, that ain't going to go well narrative-wise for Daniel Jones. So he needs to build off of what he did last season. I love the weapons around him. I just don't love everything about Daniel Jones' situation in terms of that schedule and that O-line. So hopefully he can at least look like he did last season. He's got a good coach, though. I think we all believe in that. Coming up next here on ESPN2 and ESPN Radio, it was a fight night in sports on Saturday night, but the best one we saw happened in baseball. We'll get into that.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is ESPN Radio.
Fight night, Saturday night. Maybe not quite the one that we all expected. Amber Wilson, Ian Fitzsimmons hanging out with you here on ESPN2, ESPNU, and on ESPN Radio. ESPN Radio presented to you by Progressive Insurance. So the fight night that we did see coming was Jake Paul, Nate Diaz. Jake Paul, the YouTuber. He defeated Nate Diaz in a unanimous decision. Now he's, of course, calling for a rematch because that's what you do in that sport. But the fight that I think was a lot more interesting, Ian, was the one that happened on the diamond, the one that happened in baseball. Most baseball fights, you know, they're shoving matches. Not this one. This one was an actual fight. It went down in the sixth inning when Guardians star Jose Ramirez slid into second base between the legs of White Sox shortstop Tim Anderson. Ramirez was called safe. However, it didn't go over well between the two. It started out pushing each other. Then all of a sudden, both players square up. Tim Anderson, he was ready to throw down. Both players, ready. Like
on his spikes, on his toes.
Like, you know, seriously, like, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Like, both players threw punches. Ramirez, of course, appearing to land the knockout blow. Anderson fell backwards. Both teams quickly cleared out their dugouts, the bullpens. The two players were separated. Here is how you need to hear it. Guardians announcer Tom Hamilton, he called the whole thing, and this is what it sounded like.
Here it comes. A swing and a smash to first by the diving Vaughn. Down the right field line. Kicks into the corner. Ramirez on his way to second. Head first slide. Safe and in to score is Jimenez. And another hustle double. Right over the bag at first. Now Hosey and Anderson square off. They're fighting. They're swinging. Down goes Anderson. Down goes Anderson.
Tom Hamilton has been waiting his whole life for that call, right? Like, he has been practicing that thing.
Down goes Anderson.
A heck of a fight, right?
What a call.
I was making fun of J. Will last week because NBA players, they always do the hold me back, you know, the fake fighting. I feel like that's what we normally see with these baseball players as well. This thing was a real fight. The problem is this is going to cost Ramirez's. Both these guys are going to be suspended. This is going to actually cost Ramirez's team, who could have still been in contention, though, right? Like, that's the problem.
They're
here.
Hanging on. Yeah.
Right, they're hanging on. They're in the chase. Anderson's kinda. Team's not.
Yeah.
So it ends up costing Ramirez's team more. However, I think we all win in this scenario because this was a real fight, and I love that call.
That call was absolutely spectacular. I mean, it was like he channeled Howard Cosell, and the whole down goes Anderson. And it was, I mean, for people just listening on ESPN Radio and not watching on ESPN2, it was a full right hand straight to the jaw from Ramirez connecting with Anderson, and Anderson was done. And then when they're taking him off the field, he's out on his feet. Sat out the next day, of course. You know, the White Sox are saying it's a scheduled day off already for Tim Anderson.
Of course.
Whatever. Pride hurt because he was out there floating like a butterfly and trying to sting like a bee, and he got stung. And I was listening to Emmett Golden, who's based in Cleveland, yesterday here on ESPN Radio, and I didn't know this about Ramirez, but he said, you know, most of his post-game interviews are with a translator. Mm-hmm. But when he hits a home run, it's become like a bit now in Cleveland where they say, "What pitch did you hit?" And he goes, "Home run pitch." Right? So the joke in Cleveland was, "What punch did you use to knock out Anderson?" Knockout punch.
Right? That's great. That's funny.
I mean, that's like, you know, remember the Nolan Ryan Robin Yount battle, right? And that call was epic. Tom Hamilton's call right there, absolutely historic. It damn near belongs in Cooperstown.
Ramirez said after the game through an interpreter that he had told Anderson earlier in the game that he was tagging players too hard, including in a controversial play when he hit Guardians rookie Brian Rocchio's hand hard enough to push it off of second base. So I guess that's where he was so incited with this, is that they had had this conversation, according anyways to Ramirez. He said, as soon as the play happened, he tapped me again really hard, more than needed. And his reaction was like, "I want to fight." And if he wanted to fight, I had to defend myself, Ramirez says. I felt like I was able to land one. So that's the statement, the official statement there from Ramirez defending himself. I mean, okay. I mean, he certainly went after him. But in fairness, Anderson squared up. Like, he squared up. He was ready. And he ended up getting the full truth.
Crushed.
From Ramirez. I'm trying to put it more politically correct.
He got knocked out. That's it. That's how you put it, Amber.
He got knocked out.
And Ramirez finished it. And that's the irony here, is that Tim Anderson has hacked off so many people. And I like Tim Anderson. I like the brash attitude and everything else, and the bat flips and trash talking. But to Ramirez, he crossed the line, and look, Anderson started it, Ramirez finished it, and I didn't realize he connected that hard, because you watch Anderson coming off the field, his legs are out underneath him. I mean, he was done, and I do mean done. That was a solid right hook right to the jaw, and the call made everything.
One of my favorite things about baseball fights, though, is how long it takes. Because, like, the bullpen, like, the guys in the bullpen are running all the way from the bullpen to join the fight, you know? So it's like the fight's over, and there's still the dudes running
to the
onto
bullpen
the field.
Guys going, like, "Wait, right? What do you want to go to dinner tonight? You got a good restaurant recommendation?"
Right? Like, it's like you're always 10 minutes late to the fight. What's even the point of making it out there? But you got to make the show of it that you're coming
you
to back
fined.
Your guy. Or,
yeah,
right?
You'll get fined.
Yeah, that's true.
So kangaroo
that's
court.
True. Well, lots of ejections after this one. Francona, Griffel, the Guardians' third base coach, everybody was ejected after this one. Obviously, Ramirez and Anderson ejected as well. Both of those guys are going to get multi-game suspensions. And Anderson, he's the one who gets knocked down. He gets embarrassed physically. It will be Ramirez, though, who this actually costs more, at least in terms of his team, in the win-loss column and maybe in the chase for the postseason. We always love when you join the conversation here on ESPN2 and ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Amber Wilson, Ian Fitzsimmons with you this morning. Jeff is calling us from Ohio. Jeff is chiming in on conference realignment, which has been a big topic of discussion for us today. Hey, Jeff, thanks for hanging on. What do you have?
Yeah, just real quick. I listen to about two or three games a week on the radio for the Guardians there. That's the most excitement I've heard in his voice all year, so that was great. On the conference realignment there, though, you know, I think it's on the conferences to get their divisions right, to cut down on some of that travel, and then also on the schools to get their non-conference games closer so that the parents and stuff can attend. And then the other part I think people are kind of overlooking is with the modern technology and whatnot, there's a lot of online classes offered. Professors can do videos and present them. So I think it's also on the schools to make sure they staff enough folks on the academic side for them to be able to keep up while they're on the road. So I think it's all possible, and I think I think it's a good thing. You look at the Big Ten, we almost have the Rose Bowl now. We basically have the top of the Pac-12 top of the Big Ten, you align it right, that becomes almost like the Rose Bowl. So just quick thought there.
Yeah, I mean, there's things that can be done here, and thank you so much for the call, Jeff. In terms of the online education, that certainly is going to help. What he's referencing there is how this affects the other sports. You're a baseball player, you're a basketball player, you have a game during the middle of the week, you're flying home, you get home at 2 or 3 in the morning. Certainly, there are things that can be done online, all the technology. It's incredibly helpful, Ian, but also not necessarily applicable to every single course at your university. Not all of them are going to be online. And you're also suggesting more work for the professors, right? If in fact they're not typically an online course and now they have to provide that for the student athletes. There are things that can be done. A lot of that is a changing landscape, and a lot of that is going to be on the universities to make this work for the student athletes of every sport.
This is ESPN Radio. More next.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.